Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hear these words of Jesus. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Friends, I used to see those bumper stickers on cars that said, hate is not a family value. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand what that was saying. It was puzzling to me. Until I heard those who spoke out against immorality and a changing in values in the world, spoken of by others as being hate mongers. And that's when it hit me. And I thought, how can this be? How can they call people that because they speak their mind? Just because you argue against something doesn't mean that you hate those who oppose you. Instead, we Christians know if you really care about people and you know that there are dangers in the world, you will try to warn them about dangers to body and to the soul. Here in this scripture reading, Jesus says something that's very hard for us to understand. Are we Christians really supposed to hate our families? Even hate our own life? Well, that depends on what you mean by hate. Today, we speak and think of hate as taking away people's rights for what their abilities to do, what pleases them. Hate can mean discriminating against someone for various reasons, for color of their skin, or for their vocation, what they do, or the way they live, or the way they talk. If you mean by hate, you mean belittling people, calling them names, denying them a place in society, their free speech, and taking away their human dignity, then hate is wrong, and that is not what Jesus is calling us to do. Jesus taught us just the opposite. He said that it is wrong to make fun of people in a way that hurts them inside, calling them fool. He says that's like being a murderer. It's wrong to yell at people and humiliate them. It's wrong to call them derogatory names. It's wrong to lie about them and misrepresent them before others. It's wrong to treat people differently and deny them love because you don't like how they look or those things about themselves that they cannot change. It is wrong for us to do anything that contradicts God's love for all people. After all, Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If you love only those who love you in return, what good is that? Everybody would do that. But he says, my disciples love those who don't love them. He says, do this and you'll get your reward in heaven. But Jesus did say in our reading for today that four-letter word, hate. Well, in Greek, it was really a five-letter word, meseo. But it means hate. If you don't hate others and yourself, you can't be his disciple, he says. Is this true? How did that get in our Bible anyway? To understand this passage, we really have to understand the world of the Bible. Back then, they didn't have lukewarm words like. You know, you like someone. You have the choice of love or hate. I'm told that even today there's no word in Arabic for like. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that there's so much tension in the Arab world today. The ancient world seemed to talk in absolutes. Here's an example from Old Testament times. You know that Jacob had two wives at the beginning. Jacob had Leah and Rachel. And the Bible says that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And so the Bible says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated by her husband, He allowed her to have a child, but Rachel was without a child. Now, do you see the comparison here between loving and loving something less? Now, Jacob may have loved his wife Leah less, but it doesn't say that he shut her out of the house or was mean to her or mistreated her. It says, rather, that he stayed with her. He raised her children as his own. He honored his vows to her and did the things that a husband should do for a wife. But it does say he had more feeling for Rachel. Being loved less, in biblical terms, is like being hated or despised. Another example, Jesus says in Luke 16, verse 13, "No one can have two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll love the one and he'll hold to the one and love the other." He doesn't say that the servant will be angry at his other master, call him names, discredit him, trying to ruin his business or his household and steal from him, but he will have to obey the call of one master and ignore the orders of another. And this gets called hate in Jesus' words. So when your friends, your family, or even your own self tells you to do something different than Jesus, you have to say no to it, to deny it, to stop listening to it. You can't follow Jesus and another voice because Jesus won't take second chair to anyone. That's what it means to be God anyway, doesn't it? To be God, we make Jesus into something less than a God when we won't follow him. In his words, when we hate him, when we love something more than him and follow that. So Jesus tells us to hate others and hate ourselves. That means we should be willing to renounce everything and everyone that would keep us from following Jesus. Now, before you label this as extreme, you know, Pastor Wright said to go and hate people. Imagine what our world would be like if we honored all our commitments like Jesus wants us to honor our commitment to him as our God. For instance, when a man and woman are married, for the rest of their lives, they would honor each other and they would not let anything take the place of their commitment or get between them. They wouldn't drift away from each other, and their love would only grow over the years. Or when you took a job, you could trust your employer, and your employer could trust you. He would treat you with dignity since you committed a major portion of your life to him. He wouldn't fire you to reduce the payroll and the benefits plan. And he would know that you will do everything you can to produce that excellent product or service that that company offers. And parents, if your kids honored you the way that God calls us to honor him, there'd be no more arguments about did the chores get done, or and discipline would be a joy because kids would obey parents, and parents wouldn't put these overly high expectations on their kids and ridicule them when they didn't get it done. And kids, your parents would give you their undivided attention, and they wouldn't leave you out of their planning. You'd be a part of what was going on in the family. What a messed up world we live in, anyway. When somebody does honor their commitments, and we see that, we throw a party, and we say, "Look at that! I've never seen such faithful service in my life." When this is what God wants for all of us, all of the time. If you're thinking what it means to be a Christian, Jesus wants you to count the cost. If you want to follow Christ, then you have to follow him. There's no saying, "Jesus, you go on. I'm going to hang out here for a while, and I'll catch up with you later." Can't do that. There's no covering up our sinful behavior either. It's exposed to God for all that it is. He says, give it up. You can't follow me and act that way. If we want to follow Jesus, it's going to make a big difference in our life. And we're going to see that difference. And other people are going to see that difference in us as well. This means that there's never a time that we can't show love for others. Now, it's true that one of the ways that we love people is by warning them of the results of a sinful life and what that ends up in, damnation. That's what God's word tells us. And so we're alarmed when sexual immorality is called a civil right, or when people refuse to give up behaviors that hurt others, when they steal, when they cheat, when they lie. That kind of living needs to be exposed for what it is, because it's misleading people and it causes them great suffering. And it's not hateful to express what God has said. In fact, it's the opposite. It's really loving when we warn people. But what we need to know is that we are passive in our justification. And the opposite of that, we are active in our sanctification. Let me explain what I mean there. There's a cost to being a Christian. Now, our salvation before God is the free gift of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he took our sins on himself. And when the Holy Spirit brings that to a person today and causes them to believe in Jesus' love, they are declared to be not guilty, or justified, as we say, at no cost to themselves. God saves us, and we don't add to that salvation, not one bit. It's a gift. So our justification, we're passive. God brings us into that. But the Christian, having been justified, is always to follow Jesus. That's where we're active. We are to love God by obeying his commands, and to love others by serving our neighbor. That is, whoever God has put around us who is in genuine need. They may be our friends. They may be our enemies. But we are to serve them. And that is the cost of being a Christian. Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and follow me, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Now, to the original audience, this would mean, do you think so little of your life that you would accept crucifixion from the Romans in order to be my disciple? Now, I'm sure everybody in those days knew what crucifixion was. The Romans did it enough. They had tortured so many criminals in this way. But there were some people, having heard Jesus say this, who still followed him, and they were not disappointed. Today it means, are you ready to give up everything else and follow after me? No, bad things can happen to you. Jesus says, trust me. People may call you names. Jesus says, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what I say. You will have to help people that you don't like very much, or you don't approve of. Jesus says, I did that for you. You're going to have to hold your tongue and open your wallet to be a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus says, there's nothing that will bring you more joy than I can. This is the cost of following Jesus. Are you still going to follow him? We are not on a crusade. We are not to take the world captive for Christ by force, or even one person. But instead, we are to love God and love God by serving others. You know, churches can be different and have different expectations. What kind of church would you like to belong to? A church with high expectations or a church with low expectations? A church with low expectations would say, come on and join our church. It's fun. You don't have to come all the time. You just give a little money once in a while and show up once a month or maybe even once every couple of months. Just let us know you're still out there. And you can be part of the fun. You can come to all the activities and your kids can come to classes and you really don't have to do a whole lot. That would be a low expectation church. But a high expectation church would say, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me, then come along with us. But it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ and commit to that. There is a teaching that you must learn because that is what we confess together in our congregation. We expect you to learn that. We expect you to practice that. There are people to love and to serve around you, for our Lord has told us to love one another. And yes, it's going to cost money too, because we want to pool our resources and we want to serve the Lord and we want to be able to reach out to people around us and send speakers and missionaries and preachers to all corners of the earth. But come and follow us. It may be hard for you, but this is how we are to follow Christ. That would be perhaps a high expectation church. What kind of church do you want to belong to? There's no other path that brings more peace to the soul, more joy to the heart, and the security of knowing who you really are and what you are here to do than by following Jesus. So pick up your cross, hate your life, hate your family by loving Jesus more. Amen. And the peace of Christ that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.